Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I will be honest with you, I had to re-record this intro because I stumbled on it last time because I didn't say my name correctly. Oh yeah, sometimes you just have a long couple of weeks and you forget how to say your name. But I am here, and I am here this week with my dear friend, and a world's most talented woman, Stephanie Stiles. I cannot wait to tell you about this episode, especially because you will never look at the intro of this podcast the same way. No, not after talking to Stephanie. Oh, she is the best. Now, we can't begin this podcast without saying, surprise, I went on a Disney cruise. I went on the Disney Wonder out of San Diego. You will hear about it next week. I came back too late to be able to finish it in time for this week. I cannot wait to share it with you. Oh, the Disney Wonder. It really has a hold on me, and I can't wait to see if it has me in its grasp still after my third sailing on it, which is what this was. Now, this episode is long. It's a long one. It's like the queue to Flight of Passage long. So I'm going to keep it real short. We are also not going to do a churros call this week, as much as it pains me to say that, because we just got some really good calls, even after our churros calls episode. But like, truly, this episode's going to be too long. It can't be over an hour and a half, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be. So we are going to go right into things. Stick around. We have some discounts, deals from our friend, our dear friend of the podcast, Becky Mankin. And then we will get right into it. This one's a good one. It's truly, I cut some stuff, but I was like, I'm not cutting any of the gems. And it was just too many gems. Too many gems! Welcome home. Are you a little sad to be off the Disney Adventure? Because it looked amazing.
I was back to back. And it's the first time I ever thought I needed to do back to back to back and possibly to back.
Wait, you did two of them?
We did. We did a 3-day and then the 4-day. Because again, Adventure, huge ship. Absolutely amazing. Tons of stuff to do on board. All the characters and the shopping and just how big it is. And the shows. Oh my gosh. I think I actually experienced the best dinner show I have ever seen on Disney Cruise Line, Hollywood Spotlight. It's set up like old 30s, 40s glam inside.
No!
And they have musicians, and then the characters come in. And then they go to tables.
So multiple characters?
Multiple characters.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you made it back and that you are at least awake enough to tell us about these major discounts, because I saw the news before we talked, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. Tell us everything about these Disney Cruise Line discounts.
Yeah, do you remember the last discount that came out? And I said, they've never done this before, and it's one of the best deals ever. Now we have kids sale 50% off the voyage fare. If you book by June 14th, so it's you got some time here, you get 50% off the voyage fare for up to 3 kids, ages, you know, because normally it's you know, 3 to 9. This is up to age 17 on select sailings with the purchase of 2 full fare guests in the same cabin. So if you have 2 adults that are paying full fare, you get up to 3 kids at 50% off. And that's available on select sailings and ships from October 1st, 26 to March 27th, 2027. I've seen them available on every ship except for the Adventure. There's not a better time to sail with DCL, especially because they are still running. All right, for those of us who don't have kids, they're still running that 25% off voyage fare for select sailings between April 2026 now and July. But you get that 25 or 20% off and up to 250 onboard credit at the same time. So if you've ever wanted to do a Disney cruise, now's the time to do it. And there's also, outside of these offers, you can find really great savings on sailings from San Diego and even Alaska. So if you were ever interested in doing Alaska and it's not part of these offers, they are still lower than they've ever been before.
Wow. Wow. And remember, crazy. Reaching out to Mouseman Travel is the best way to book this, because I say that as somebody who books cruises with Mouseman Travel, because parsing through these on your own is so annoying. You do not want to do it. Trust me. And so to have a professional who can really tell you which deal is best for you and how to save the most money is so helpful, and it costs you nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Thank you so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear what other deals you have later on in the show. Welcome back. This week, and long last, we have my dear friend, star of stage and screen, biggest Disney fan that I know, most talented girly in the whole wide world, Stephanie Stiles. And if you're not familiar with Stephanie's work, you are, I promise. You may have seen her most recent role in Ainsley on Apple TV's Loot, which naturally we're going to talk about. Or maybe you've even seen her pop up on beloved shows like High Potential or Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, for which she used her rap gift from Zoe's for our interview, because you have to wear wired headphones when you do a Zoom. It's a whole thing. And she wore her rap gift. Isn't that fun? I was very charmed with that. Maybe you even caught her iconic turn as Catherine Plummer in Disney's Newsies, a Broadway musical, or starring in Kiss Me, Kate, because truly, she has done it all. Stephanie is incredible both at what she does and really just at kind of existing. She's just what she's wonderful. She's kind, she's silly, and she's hilarious. And my mic is actually good for as much as I complain about it, because you cannot hear me muffling my laughter throughout all of this. Steph is so quick and funny, and that's probably why she was so incredible playing a Disney-adjacent character on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which she hasn't really discussed publicly, but obviously, we got the exclusive here on Very Amusing. I learned so much about my friend Steph in this episode, including about how her life just keeps weaving back and forth through this Disney-adjacent narrative. It's absolutely mind-blowing, which, you know, as a passionate member of D23, which she is, and a real Disney girly who knows her stuff, as you're soon going to hear about more branches of the Walt Disney Company than even I've ever realized, it just makes her the perfect hidden Mickey. This one's just kind of like a loosey-goosey fun time hang with one of America's best performers, period. It runs a little long, I know, but what do you think? I'm going to cut out the part where we're talking about how a Broadway star married her and it was absolutely revelatory? You think I'm going to cut the section where we discuss Walt's chili in a way that has never been talked about before, I can guarantee you. By the way, if you hear the name Sarah come up, that is our friend Sarah Sterling, who you might be familiar with, who has worked at D23, now works at WDI, and is also very online, and we love Sarah, so that is who we are referencing. But truly, this was so much fun, and I hope that we can capture the joy that was sitting down and having this conversation for you within this episode. So enjoy, have a good time, and I hope you are as wowed by Stephanie Stiles as I always tend to be. Steph, welcome to Very Amusing!
Hello!
Oh my God, you are too kind. I feel like your agent is going to send me an invoice for that.
No, here's what I'm going to tell you is I am your, it's so smart you start that way because it truly is like the end all be all vocal warm up. And so through all your, wait, you are gasped. Her mouth is a gate.
I did not know this.
What?
I did not know this.
A siren, I mean, this is the tent pole of vocal warm-ups, I feel, is doing that. Except you start high and then go low, right?
Yeah.
This usually, traditionally, you would start low, then go high, then go back low. But I don't want to blow out my wired headphones.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a tent pole in the vocal warm-up. So I think with all your talking and everything, you're really setting yourself up for success every day.
This is so thrilling because I lost my voice in December, which I forgot, like, oopsies, my job is talking out loud. Mm-hmm. I lost my voice the night I saw you at Jeffrey's holiday party. Jeffrey, mascot of Very Amusing, comes up every episode. I don't know how. It's never intentional. Hi, Jeffrey.
Perfect. I'm glad that we got this within the, I don't know what number. We're under a minute and we got a Jeffrey reference.
Immediately. This is maybe the earliest it's ever happened. But I saw you at Jeffrey's house for a holiday party. Next day it was like, I can't speak. And last week was the first time that I felt my voice finally came back, and I always can clock it based on how the hello goes.
See?
I'm telling you.
Well, I think you have incredible vocal health. And I will say I've listened to several episodes over this weekend, and my favorite thing about Jeffrey's episode, shout out to Jeffrey, is he is so amazing. I feel like he's writing an essay in high school in the way that he is so incredible at citing his sources. It's truly like the body of his paragraphs, he'll be like talking. And then you hear the parentheses of being like, but I really have to thank so-and-so at so-and-so and so-and-so. Like his bibliography for the podcast is stunning. Like he's so good at his gratitude and thanking the people. He's like, well, if I were to steal something from the Disney archive, which I wouldn't, but if I could covet it, it would be this item, but I have to thank this incredible person for putting this item there. And I was like, Jeffrey, unbelievable. It's so good.
Oh, we love him so much. We love him so much.
You have amazing guests. I truly am honored to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you about Disney and about your career. But I realized you're more of a Disneyland than a Disney World person at this point, right?
I'm so glad you're starting with this because I was from Texas, raised on World, prior to moving to LA, had probably could count on one hand the amount of times I'd been to land. But now I'm a land girl. But you just, okay, so, and then you were World and then became land.
Yes, I only went a few times in my childhood, but I was a Disney World girly. And then I have become Disneyland now that I live in California.
Isn't that wild? Because I just went to World for the first time in 7 years last weekend or 2 weekends ago. And I hadn't been in 7 years after going consistently my entire life. And I just really didn't know how I was going to feel. I mean, there were so many things that have changed. And I also feel so like beholden to land now. But it was amazing. But it feels different. But it was unbelievable. I got there Thursday and I left Sunday. Two park days. Two parks both days. But truly, truly stepped into Hollywood Studios to go see Disney Villains, Unfairly Ever After. And that's the only thing I did. If you're in college, you have a big and a little, you know, like in a sorority. I wasn't a sorority, but I was in a musical theater department. And at Michigan, my little was this amazing actress, Leah Matfield. And she is currently working at the Walt Disney World Resort. And she is friends with someone in Villains Unfairly Ever After. And she is unbelievable. I think I'm the first person to openly weep Meja Weepa at this Unfairly Ever After thing. Like, I was sobbing.
It's not known for being a tearjerker, I don't think.
No, I felt like I was crying at a drag show. Like, it was, like, so camp and incredible, but I'm there acting like it's Hamnet. Like, I'm just, like, bawling. Being proud. Being in a proud
place. Yes.
Oh my gosh, it was wild. But no, I loved it. I'd never done Tron. And I think
God, you really hadn't been in so long.
No, I hadn't done Tron. I hadn't done Guardians. I hadn't done so much. And I will tell you, one niche thing I love about Disney is the way they can make an attraction make me deeply care about something I never cared about before. Insert Radiator Springs Racers and Tron. Light cycle run. Two franchises I really did not care about that now I'm like, I need to know everything. You have me. I'm on board because of my experience I had.
Between Tron and Guardians, which one did you walk away liking more?
Okay, Carly. So I walked into this and everyone is telling me that Guardians is going to be my religion. And I'm down. And it was obviously unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But everyone kept telling me, Tron, so short. So I will say the advertisement, I went in and I loved both. But gosh, I love a little bike ride vehicle.
Like, I had a feeling you were going to love to be like, vroom, vroom, baby, let's go.
I love the back support. I love leaning forward. You know, I love that in Hagrid's too. I love that. I'm like, ooh, I love this. I love like going into every turn, like, I'm really leaning in the visual. That was great. And then I loved Guardians too. It was unbelievable. I did it twice and I ran both times. And
both
so
times.
I like to think that's like our song now. Me and Guardians. It's like me and Dave Bautista's, our song is I ran. And so yeah, it was amazing. But I had a great time and seeing my family. I went with my family for my mom's birthday and was my first time going to World, which again is where I grew up, but getting to see my parents, his grandparents, my brother and his amazing wife as parents and being there with my nephew was like unbelievable and was so, so terrific.
Do you have a favorite Disney hotel?
Oh, my favorite hotel of all time is a Walt Disney World Resort hotel, which is, sorry, not sorry, the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, I knew. I knew it. I feel like you and I, if we did like a newlywed game about your Disney favorites, I think I would guess every single one correctly.
Oh my God. I hope I would do well on yours. I just would be like, not blue.
You'd be like,
blue
nacho food. Cheese.
Yes, nacho cheese. Nothing blue. Oh my gosh. I truly just, wait a second. Then I was listening to one of your pods. I think you asked, did you ask Jeffrey when it was, would you rather be interacting with a character for an hour on a roller coaster for an hour? And you kind of were shocked he said character. You'd want to be on a roller coaster for an hour?
Always.
Wow.
I went on Guardians when it opened at Epcot. I went on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind so many times, I probably gave myself a concussion.
What's your favorite song?
You've probably covered those.
Conga. I really like Conga. But I kind of like them all at this point.
When you do Rip Ride Rocket, what song do you choose?
I'm not. I'm done. Nope. I'm like, I've reached a point where I'm like, if it's not a Disney coaster, if I don't really want to go on it, I'm not going on it.
Now, Carly, did you ever do the secret song on Rip Ride Rocket that I think is one you and I would both love?
The Muppets one?
Of course.
What's up, I gosh. Tried, but it's very, I think what people leave out of the narrative of choosing a song on that ride, R.I.P. to that ride. Now, wait, Rip Ride, I was like, is R.I.P. Rip? Yeah, it is in the name. That might be confusing.
Incredible.
The
wow.
ride is no longer there.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't, that's how bad I am at Universal stuff. I did not realize that.
It's fine. You live a full life outside of keeping track of these things. Don't
worry. I'm very up to date on the LA coaster. I've seen the backside of that coaster for a while.
Time. Oh, yeah.
Big time.
But I found it very stressful to try to hack a song when you're getting in the scene. They're like, go, go, go. And you're like trying to get your bag down. It was too much for me to select something quickly.
Especially with this like omni mover system of that roller coaster, because it just never stopped.
It was so stressful. So I couldn't, I always have a lot like a bag and I'm not paying attention. I'm like, where's my water bottle go? So I couldn't select it.
But very stressful.
I don't think that's anything that I miss. I think I am good. I'm good with Disney coasters. I'm set. I'm happy.
Rip.
R.I.P. Rip. Now, your Disney origin story, is this something that like your parents both loved to take your family when you were kids? Is it one of your parents? Was it just something that started super young or like old enough where you remember? How did you become the Disney fan you are today?
What a great question. I definitely, my parents were very good about taking us. And I think that was something very important to my mother, that she thought, she just wanted us to grow up going to these theme parks. My mom loves Disney. I do think she was like a spark to what is now giant fire or smoldering ember that became truly just flames of my love for Disney. And so growing up on it, you know, I think such a privilege of anyone growing up in the 90s was how good children's movies were. And so I think, I mean, the best musicals of that time, New York Times, I think, said the year Beauty and the Beast came out, they're like, the best Broadway musical is an animated children's film. And it just was unbelievable. And I also think, obviously, so much of my love for theater is fully because of Walt Disney Animation. And so that's very much started growing up loving Disney by going to the parks and seeing the films. And I just think, you know, it was all so good. And I obviously had somewhere within me this love of musical theater. And I think those films were just so, I mean, Disney, obviously, I'm sure everyone, I had this moment at Walt Disney World, I was just looking around and I was like, how lucky am I and so many of the people here to love something this much, in that I mean, fundamental part of my personality, the things I love in life, the way I operate in this world, I'm sorry, is Disney. I love it so much. And so getting to just see small things that truly bring me so much joy, and then also it's a constant that always having something new to look forward to. I hadn't ridden a huge Disney attraction that was new to me in so long. So just things like that. I mean, having never been to some of the parks, like the international parks, there's always something to look forward to. So I'm so lucky to be a Disney fan and to be able to connect with other people I mean, I admired you so, from afar for so long before we ever actually met. And obviously my gateway to you was Disney, but then you ended up becoming my like wise teacher in so many other ways and different things. And so
you're your unintentional marriage doula.
Yes. Well, that, can we tell that? That's my, okay.
If you're okay telling the story, I won't
go into the whole thing, but I famously, if you look for my Instagram account, it is public that I was proposed to at Disneyland. And I won't get into the whole proposal, obviously, but my husband very much wanted it to be a surprise. And obviously, I think there was a part of me that thought there would be something Disney related in my engagement. Because at that time, we had discussed not having a Disney wedding, which is something I thought I might have when I was younger, but I was like, no. But my husband wanted it to be a surprise. And at this time, Carly and I were going to the same gym, but we were early friends. It was early days. Yes. And we were new friends. And I get an email from Carly out of nowhere. Again, don't know I'm getting proposed to. My husband and I had lots of conversations. We knew we wanted to get married, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't have any inkling, and I got an email from Carly being like, hey, I have to go to Walt Disney World for this other thing, so I have to miss this event that I got invited to, but I kind of said, oh, you know who might want to do this? My friend Stephanie. Would you want to go to this early, before the park opens? They're having all these events for whatever anniversary it was. This one is Mr. Toad's themed. And it's like a breakfast buffet, Mr. Toad themed. But they're like, you'd go into the park at 5 a.m., blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, of course I want to go ride Mr. Toad's at 5 a.m. And so I like tell my husband, I'm like, oh, I got invited to this thing by Carly. I'm going to go. So I went to my proposal under the guise. And again, I got an email from Disney about all this. It turns out the person emailing me was from like Disney Tale fairy tale events or whatever weddings. And this person was like, don't wear logos, like wear comfortable shoes. You'll be doing this, blah, blah, blah. And so like my husband made sure I wasn't like wearing something weird. Like what I love is like, I'm not wearing white on my engagement because I truly didn't know what was happening. Like I'm wearing this cute, very cute dress, but a dress I thought I could do the parks in all day. And so it was, but the way you were the mastermind, full on mastermind, helped out. And then you were supposed to go to Walt Disney World, but then something happened with weather. So you were fake posting on your stories that day.
Yes, I think that's right. I forgot I had to like extensively pretend that I was somewhere else.
Yeah.
To keep
and
the jig
so
up.
It was I was fully under the impression until until my husband was there. I was like, oh, I'm going to this event. I'm walking with some people. We're going. I smelled bacon, which, of course, they're making bacon for everyone. But I was like, that's that Mr. Toad's buffet bacon.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But yeah, so I'm indebted to you. So now when Carly invites me to events as her plus one, I think I'm getting proposed to again. I think I'm like, something is happening to me.
I know you were a little nervous about the Disneyland handcrafted premiere, which we went to together, if you guys listened to that episode, because you were like, what's going to happen? And I was like, no, I promise. I will pick you up. It is real. Yeah. It is happening. It is not another surprise by your sweet, adoring husband, who did ask me to lie to a professional actor, which is terrifying.
Subtle and nuanced. You were subtle and nuanced. It was unbelievable.
I did for a few weeks leading up to it. Every time I saw you in the gym was like, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. And I was so worried about it. But like, thankfully, it all went well. It all went well. And it was so beautiful.
It was amazing. But yes, no. So I love Disney and I'm grateful for you for helping in my Disney engagement. But yeah, I love Disney. And it started from my parents being the gateway, but they in no way are... They love Disney. They're not at the like scholarly invested level that I would say I am at.
Yeah. I mean, for context, we did meet in our friend Sarah's pandemic era Zoom Disney trivia. That's where we met. So, you know, makes a lot of sense for someone who still has charter member of D23 as her bio.
It is. What else is there? What else is there?
I thought at this point, I was like, maybe you'd be like, and Leon Lute or like some other things. No, it is still, is solid. You have not changed it.
Yeah, I guess at some points I would add in like when I was in a job for a long, like a show, like a Broadway show I'd add in. But yeah, no, charter member of D23. I would have it be my bio and playbills if possible. I would say it's like in my entire personality. Wait, okay, speaking of Sarah, this is so off topic, but this is something I was thinking about. So I was just like listening to your thing, whatever thing. So I have this really, I have this Oogie Boogie Not So Scary Halloween costume idea I want to do, but it involves other people. And I talked about doing it with Tiff and Sarah at some point, but I don't know if it's ever going to happen. So I'm, I am going to say it here. But then it leads me to a question, Carly. I think if you're like, what are Walt's favorite things in life? I really think you can boil it down to Walt's favorite things are chili, trains, and Abraham Lincoln. And I think that how funny would it be instead of like Charlie's Angels to be like Walt's Angels and be like three hot versions, like hot chili, hot train, hot Abraham Lincoln, but have that be like the Halloween costume. So, and I, of course, want to be train. I want to be hot train because I love Starlight Express, the musical. But what, and then like, what are, Carly, what do you think are your three things that if Walt Disney is chili, trains, and Abraham Lincoln, your three things you think? And I guess you can kind of make it smaller that you're like, one's like a food item that's your entire personality. One is like a thing you're very interested in. And then one is a public figure.
Wait, this is so funny because I'm also realizing, I think all of us are immediately drawn to either chili, trains, or Abraham Lincoln.
And that was the thing. It's like Tiff was like, I have to be Lincoln. And Sarah was like, well, I have to be chili.
Have to be chili. Of course, Sarah and I are aligned on chili.
Yeah.
Wow, that is an incredible costume. You have to do it. Also, Sarah would slay building. Winner of multiple Walt Disney Imagineering costume contests would absolutely slay dressing as Walt's chili. I guess mine would be popcorn.
Yes. Fuel.
Network Blew television.
Wait, I love this. I love this.
And oh God, I feel like there's so many. I was like, would it be like caramel corn? Would it be like double popcorn?
It's only popcorn. It's like a public figure.
An iced coffee with cold foam. Like energy. Like the purest form of energy.
So you have two foods, Carly. Well, you have a libation and a food. Yeah. Can I push back on this?
Yes, of course. You can edit.
Just for the visual, I think popcorn's great, but I also think it'd be iced coffee. I love the idea of like an old TV, like with some antennas, right? But then, like, I mean,
oh, Duffy. I guess Duffy.
That's exactly where I was going.
Duffy. Yeah.
I think it's Duffy.
What would yours be? Because you have so many. You're in a lot of different categories, miss.
No. But at the same time, you really can whittle it down to my food beverage item is so on lock, which it's tea. Like, yeah. I am a tea girly. I have my homemade matcha right here. And then my other two parts of my personality are Taylor Swift and Disney, but that's so obvious. So I was like, okay, I don't want it to be Taylor Swift as like the person. And I also don't want it to be Walt Disney. I just think those are so like on the nose. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought having it be Howard Ashman, because he's both, I mean, he's my everything, Howard Ashman. But I think he is the Disney, but then he's Peter too. And so I just really would love, I just like love like him thinking about like Walt thinking about Lincoln, me thinking about Howard Ashman. And then I just don't know. This is what I'm workshopping. The other thing is either, I was like, maybe it's a friendship bracelet. So it is still Taylor Swift, but it's like a different object. But then I was like, I don't like love Taylor friendship bracelets when they're not Taylor Swift. Well, I am. And like now I am in culture. But then I was like, the other day I was like, oh God, is it just a laptop of like four men talking about Marvel on YouTube? Is that my third thing? Because the amount that I listen to primarily these guys talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What?
So much of my day recently.
Wait, what do you mean? You're a Marvel person?
Oh, Carly. Well, and I don't talk about it because, I mean, I do talk about it, but like, I am no Sarah when it comes to Disney trivia, right? I think we can all be like, yes, in a certain group of friends, I am Yensid. I know it all. But then in another group, I don't know a darn thing when it comes to Disney trivia. I know obviously so much. But then when I think about Marvel, I'm a cinematic fan. Although I've spent many like reading comics now, but I am not a comic book person. That was not my gateway. But when I tell you, I spent several years of my life, like 2018, oh wait, no. Yeah. I mean, from 20, probably 17 to 20, summer of 2019, I like thought about the Soul Stone every day. I was like, who is going to have that Soul Stone? I thought about the Soul Stone every day.
I can't believe that your quiet obsession with Marvel, which has never come up somehow, has never come up. I cannot believe you are so obsessed with Marvel that it might bump Taylor Swift out of your trio.
That is crazy. Like, I can't do that. That is crazy. I love, well, and then let's talk about it. The day Sarah texted me and was like, look at these rumors that Taylor Swift's Dazzler. Your girl lost it. Because that's one of my favorite, I mean, that is
it
probably
might happen,
my favorite
it might all happen for
Marvel
you.
Character. I know, I feel like it's going to be Sabrina Carpenter
did,
who would
did
also
Did you feel
play.
This way, though, when Taylor was in Cats? Did you have a similar feeling?
Oh, I wrote Cats fan fiction as a youth. So I was very all for this.
Okay.
No, Carly.
I'm going to need to book out the next 4 hours to follow
I know,
up
I feel bad. We're
this.
Like not talking about Disney. But
No, I need to know everything about Stephanie Stiles' childhood Cats fan fiction.
I had no friends. I also wrote Phantom fan fiction, Carly. Like, I went from like Phantom, Beauty and the Beast, Hunchback. It was this very like deformed protagonist. like that was the core of that time. And so it definitely stuck. I know what was happening, but so that is my three. But I think this is the question we should all be asking ourselves: what's our chili Lincoln train?
Yes. I would love everyone to, if you have, call in and let us know what your chili Lincoln train is. And as much as, Steph, as much as I really want to do my job and ask you questions about your career, I need to know what the Cats fan fiction was.
Oh my God. No, it's so bad. The Cats one was really bad in that the Cats one was primarily, I think the one I really think about was AIM chat conversations between the Cats. So it primarily was honestly a play. But I had to think of handles for all of them. So they're all the Cats, but they're at laptops just writing each other. It was the one that I really remember. That was a format I really enjoyed. No, I love Cats. I love Cats so much. I can't wait to see Jellicle Ball. I will be there. I already own merch, yet did not get to see it off Broadway. You have such an incredible collection of Andrew Lloyd Webber merch.
I just really, I feel like as a Disney fan, that is the Broadway crossover. Because
baby.
It's just like a bizarro themed environment. That's what he's out here creating. It's just,
you know what it is? Immersive.
It is very immersive. There's something about that phantom boat. There's something about the fact that there could just be a body of water beneath a labyrinth below a stage that really gets me. It really gets my theme park brain in a way I didn't anticipate. I got to talk to you about Broadway because
of
you
course,
are so...
Please.
Like, you live in these two worlds now where, like, you're on screen a lot, but you are a Broadway person. And is my math bad, or did you get your start touring as an actor in Sound of Music as a child?
I would say that was, like, the beginning of the we're really doing this.
But you were, like, a baby. You were young.
I turned 12 on that tour. I did my first professional show when I was 6 in Houston, but it was regional theater in Texas when I was 6. The Sound of Music was kind of my first, like, oh, I'm going to be a professional actor. I just got to see my Maria from that tour. She is in Finding Nemo the musical with her husband.
Oh my gosh.
That musical is perfect.
It's really good. I feel like Andrew Barth Feldman has spoken about how it's one of his favorites.
Oh yeah, I listened to that up. Which, of course, loved the shout out of our e-ticket to Broadway, I think is what our, back when I had Twitter, now X, was our Disney fan chat that we had.
That's right.
Message.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I maybe we could do like a Finding Nemo the concert at 54 Below. I would love to be in it. I always wanted to be Nemo back in the day, but it's such a good show.
Wow.
So good. But yes, no, I did that tour and then kind of primarily lived in Houston until I had, when I was 14, I did an opera, New York City Opera, where I went and lived there in New York a little bit with like a legal guardian. My parents stayed home in Texas. And then I came back, had normal high school, went to the University of Michigan for musical theater, go blue, and then moved to New York, where I thought I was moving to New York. And inevitably between my last day of school, my first final, did the final callback for Newsies, the first national tour.
Whoa. It's wild that you, like, you still got full regular education. You still, like, had the high school experience, had the college experience, but also toured as an actor and lived in New York and performed.
It was giving Hannah Miley. It was best of both worlds. It was, I did get to experience both, which was great. And something I'm very grateful for and felt very me the entire time. But my parents were always very communicative with me, being like, hey, do you want to stay in New York after this, or do you want to come back home? And I think I was very just aware that probably for me personally, I was like, I need to learn. I don't know everything yet about both life and the industry. So loved going home between those big moments in my life.
What was it like, not just touring as a young person, but also being in New York when you were young? Because this wasn't like a time where you pull up TikTok and you're like, there's a great matcha on 55th. Like, what was it like being in New York at that age and not having the social media we have now?
I think one of the best parts was when I was on tour, my understudy, she primarily understudied Liesl, the eldest Von Trapp, was this, I think she was 23 or 24 woman named Melissa. And she's the person that inevitably would become, my mom was with me most of the time on tour, but occasionally would go home to visit my brother. And Melissa became partly my legal guardian on tour, and then became one of my legal guardians when I lived in New York, and we lived in New York together. And so having this, I'm the eldest daughter. but I'm the eldest daughter, but Melissa kind of became this older sister figure to me. And so getting to be in New York with her, and she worked at Alice's Teacup, which I think they still have a location on the Upper West Side. And so getting to see New York through her eyes, yet she's a giant Disney adult. And now she lives here, and I get to be the godmother to her two daughters. And that, like, it just is this whole thing that, like, keeps on. It's been unbelievable. And the fact that the four of us get to go to Disneyland now is unbelievable. I rode my first roller coaster with Melissa when our tour stopped in Orlando. We rode Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, sponsored by Hanes, together for my first roller coaster ever.
Another RIP.
RIP?
RIP as of days ago.
I know.
Wow. I can't believe you had this, like, independent New York life as a teen.
Yeah, and it's yet I was so scared all the time. It's such a pleasure to have in class that I really was just, like, going to and from rehearsals and, like, sleeping. I was like, no, it was amazing. And I mean, getting to go to the Disney store when they had it, was it on 5th? The old Disney store where they had, like, meet and greet. I met, like, Abby Mallard from Chicken Little. I remember meeting, like, Cinderella and, like, Abby Mallard in the same day, like, at that store. It was incredible.
Your life literally feels like a book, because you're telling me that as a child, you were like 14, you moved to New York, and one of your core memories of being there is going to the Disney store for a meet and greet. And years later, you star on Curb Your Enthusiasm as somebody who works at the Disney store who basically does meet and greets.
That's so funny. I haven't really thought about that. No, and that is because people were like, this doesn't really happen. I'm like, well, it did. Like, back in the day, like, you used to, the Disney store in New York had this beautiful build-out, and you just saw the most random characters there all the time. And the whole Curb thing was crazy. And I've never publicly, like, really gotten to talk about it, but really got so lucky that they had written this storyline, which I have to thank Susie Essman, because apparently it was supposed to be CBS, like, confusing. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm in this episode of Curb on the final season where I'm Vince Vaughn's girlfriend, who he thinks, because he hasn't really had, I guess, intense, deep conversations with me, but from what I'm saying, he thinks I'm an executive at Disney. And spoiler alert, I am a greeter at the Disney store. And at the Americana. And but apparently they were thinking of having it be someone who they thought worked at CBS, but worked at CVS. But then Susie was like, why don't it be Disney? So I always have to thank her. And that show is completely improvised. There's no script. I am not an improviser by training. But what I do know a lot about is Disney. So my audition and everything was just kind of talking about Disney. And so that was unbelievable. And for every time that I felt so intimidated being there and having to, you know, truly make up scenes with Vince Vaughn and Larry David, I always was like, but I know a lot about Disney. And I know that right here, I'm probably the person that knows the most about Disney. So we're going to be okay. And so that was so much fun, an absolute dream come true. Like, the fact that I am, like, the only time I've thought about changing my Instagram bio is I was like, what if I wrote Larry David's Cinderella, like Roger and Hammerstein Cinderella or Disney Cinderella? I was like, Larry David's Cinderella. I was like, would be like, if that's on my grave, like, that works for me. But no, it was amazing. Although, again, I would like to put this asterisk out there. No one has approached me about it. Thank you for giving me this platform. there were certain things we had to say because they needed these, like, these sound bites in there. And they really liked when I, in one scene, I was talking about, I just started talking about a friend who worked with me. And they really, well, and spoiler, I do give my, one of my goddaughters and her father a shout out because I could choose obviously whatever names I was talking about. So I need to get my other goddaughter in there and my godson. But Penny and Ian get a shout out because I was making up my own lines. But they really liked me talking about Chip and Dale and Tinkerbell in the same sentence. And I know those two things are not the same height. I know that. I am aware that those are not usually played by the same performer. But I just, they liked how it sounded. So I went with that. So we're living this off-brand world where also my gloves were not full-length Cinderella gloves. They were short Cinderella gloves. But just like we're living it. I just want everyone to know that I know. But no one's actually approaching me about it. But I felt like, I confided in Sarah about this. I was like, I just know people are going to be mad at me. I was like, I know it's not correct.
There's a lot of philosophies out there telling you how you should pack for a trip. Ooh, a capsule wardrobe. Ooh, patterns that function as basics. No, I am done with people telling me what to wear because I'm doubling down on a new kind of travel philosophy. I'm just gonna wear whatever I love wearing at the moment. Is my suitcase a little chaotic? Maybe to an outsider, but I am blissfully happy once I get to my destination because I have the wacky dress, the unexpectedly fancy outfit, and the casual comfies I crave when I crave them. And there is nowhere else I need to go to make those looks possible but Quince. No matter what you're looking for, Quince has the essential pieces to make your wardrobe sing. The fabrics are elevated, the fits are flattering, and everything works without overthinking it. I love Quince because, well, first of all, they're using incredible premium materials, and by cutting out the middleman, you're paying 50 to 80% less than similar brands at a price point that just feels right, all without sacrificing quality. The most versatile item I own and the most used item in my wardrobe is, as you know, my Quince bike shorts. I wore them with a cropped t-shirt when I was on my recent Dollywood trip. I also wore them with an oversized black sweater and felt very classy to have this like black on black, like chic, off-duty look. They truly took me from tourist attractions to Bucky's to the airport, but I also dress them up with like a little cutie tunic on top when I'm on a beach vacation or under a shorter dress to make a dress work with flats if that's all you got in your suitcase. I truly believe every piece at Quince can be that item that makes your whole wardrobe make sense. And wearing whatever I love at the moment just always seems to include something from Quince. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use by heading to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. It's so funny to me that like you're such a Disney person at heart that even though you end up on these jobs that are not Disney, it just kind of always pulls you back to center.
Isn't that crazy? I know my Luke character wasn't supposed to know who Harrison Ford was in the beginning. Like I originally had a line where I was like, who is that? And then
it's so Ainsley.
And then suddenly she's a Disney person. They're like, she knows who Harrison Ford is. So it's just so funny how it all comes back. I mean, listen, I love doing things about Disney and I love doing actual Disney things. I will do both for the rest of my life if everyone in the world will have me.
Oh my gosh. Loot, of course. I there are things I would ask you about, but honestly, I just feel like every time you talk about Loot, you light up. There's like something about that experience that just you seem like brighter when you speak about it.
What's so funny is Carly has been like around me when like major career things have happened in my life. And so you have been there for like really random things. But I know Loot has been, I mean, our friendship was, I started working out where we were working out because I was so scared of getting COVID and wanted to be so safe. And I just, you know, it was the biggest job of my life. Truly that group of people, I'm like, they felt like family. They were amazing and they are amazing. And I think just working with them, and obviously Maya is one of the most innovative comics of her generation. And as you know from Good Hang, a giant Disney fan. And I always call her Holy Trinity because she's done Disney animation, live action at Disney Pixar. So she just needs to be like the voice of a droid and like in a Nat Geo doc, and she's good.
Yeah, it's its own kind of EGOT.
Because Big Hero is technically Marvel. So she's kind of already got, Big Hero 6 is Marvel.
What?
Oh yeah, this is, I mean, I pull out my phone to do this.
What
is
do you mean?
Big Hero 6 is based on a Marvel comic, so it's technically...
It is?
Wait, oh my Girl, god, am I embarrassing myself? So am I embarrassing myself?
I just can't believe I've clocked dozens of hours of new rock stars, and you're out here teaching me about Marvel.
Well, as a screen crush girly, you know, we do what we do. I saw Doug the other day in New Orleans Square. I hope this means something to someone. I saw everyone. Carly, let's put Carly aside. This is between you and me. Hey, you listening to the podcast, folding laundry, going on a run, washing a dish. Hey, guess what? I was walking in New Orleans Square and I turn where they're doing those portraits and I see Doug. Someone has done a portrait of Doug. Is that there all the time? I freaked out so hard.
I saw this on your Instagram.
On my Instagram.
I thought you posted it because it was a funny, cute dog.
Okay, here we go, Carly.
Who's that
Big
dog?
Hero 6. Doug, mascot of Screen Crush. Brian Eric, Colton Osborne.
All those people. Is cute.
No, this is like a dog that means a lot to me. But Big Hero 6 is a superhero team appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. So, Maya Rudolph is in the Marvel is it cinematic? I don't think it counts. Like, it's not Sonyverse, obviously. But I'm like, wonder. So, what's to say? I think she just needs and she's in Muppets. So she just needs Nat Geo. She just needs Nat Geo and Star Wars. Ron Funches, greatest person in the entire world. Love him. He's amazing. We love him. We love Ron. He's doing his comic tour. Go see it. Have a fun time. He's amazing. And Joel and Michaela J, who's going to be on Broadway. And Nat Faxon, who's great and doesn't have an Instagram, but we love him. It was the best thing to ever happen. And so much fun. And I can't believe I got to sing A Whole New World with Ron Funches and Adam Scott. Something I never knew I would be doing in my lifetime. But it was great. Love Disney. And I'm trying to think. I hid more Taylor Swift Easter eggs in Ainsley, but because the Disney ones were way too obvious. So we already had those.
Have we met Taylor Swift?
No, we have not met Taylor Swift.
Are we scared to meet Taylor Swift?
We're open to it, but it doesn't need to happen. You know, I recently met Brendan Fraser, who's my other big deal person.
Yeah, he's a big deal. Like, he's the person for you, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess Howard Ashman has some competition in Brendan. I have all the super yucky Brendan stuff, like love. But no, meeting him, he was so kind and I loved Rental Family. Love Rental Family. I think it's an incredible film. Everyone should watch it. I had a great time. But yeah, no, I love everyone I've met who is a quote unquote hero. I love meeting and all the Disney people I've ever met and worked for have been amazing. Alan Menken is unbelievable. So talented. And his music is so good and so such a delight to sing. And so doing Newsies and have done some other stuff for him recently, he's unbelievable. He's so fantastic. And just everyone involved is heaven. Heaven, I say, Carly, heaven.
Wait, speaking of Newsies. So because we became friends after you went on tour with Newsies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand, until I was like preparing and Googling, I didn't realize that like there's a big fan community for Newsies in a way where I have destroyed my Pinterest algorithm.
No.
I clicked on one photo and now it's all just like, now my whole feed is Jeremy Jordan holding a puppy, which I'm not complaining about. I don't know how it got there. But I didn't realize this was like a bit, like, talk to me about what that was like, because I didn't realize it had such a ripple effect with fandom.
Oh, I felt I was on tour with One Direction. Like it was Newsies forever, second to none. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my entire life. My first job out of college being going on the road with this group of people and getting to tell this story. I mean, it's what I love about Disney is obviously it's such a collaboration. Everything is such a collaboration and the community it provides. And Newsies was a show, I think it was the most requested property for Disney on Broadway, Disney Theatrical, to create into a show people could license. So someone could tell this story better. But basically, they did it they were going to do it at Paper Mill so they could license it. But then it was going to, then people were so excited about it. It went to Broadway for the short thing, and then it extended, and then it got won Tonys, and then it went on tour. And so to this thing that so many people cared about, this property that they made happen because of the power of the people, aka the story of Newsies, then getting to, not everyone can go to New York City. You know, it's hard to see a Broadway show. So to bring that to people's hometowns was unbelievable. The first show I ever saw, the first professional show I ever saw, was a national tour of the Phantom of the Opera. So touring was so important to me. Exactly. And the fact that I got to bring Newsies, be a part of that, bring it to all these people, and meet so many incredible people at the stage door that I have gone on to work with.
No.
I've had people at the stage door that not only still like come see, I see them at shows now, and like so many of them work in social justice and journalism because of Catherine Plummer, this character that I was one of the many women who got to play. But also seeing, like, I met someone at the stage door at the Pantages when I did the show at the Pantages, who then crewed an off-Broadway play I did at Roundabout. And so just getting to then work with these people, that's what I think is so great about theater. There's so many people that I stage doored or loved growing up that now I get to work with. And that's what's so beautiful about this, is it's something you get to fall in love with in your youth. Like, a lot of people are exposed to it when they're younger and can have that dream to do it, and then you end up doing it and you're working with your heroes. And so every time someone's like, oh, I hope to play Catherine Plummer, I'm like, oh, I hope I get to see you play Catherine Plummer. Like, it's just the best part, and she's incredible. And Catherine taught me so much about myself and doing that show. That show and Curb Your Enthusiasm are the hardest things I've ever done. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, singing that song and doing that dancing. But it was the best thing ever. And being a part of a Disney musical, no one does musicals like Disney. And it's an absolute dream to do, both as a fan of musical theater and a fan of the company. It was incredible.
Welcome back, Becky.
I just woke up from my 2-second nap. It's great.
Guys, I let her rest for a few moments, and then I was like, we need to resurrect her. There's Disney discounts, and we got to talk about it.
If you are a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a little perk for you. It does require 2-night minimum stay, which isn't a problem.
Which
in
is
Disney
very,
World, right?
Just very low.
Exactly. Valid most nights, June 21st to August 15th. Prices per night for room only, as low as All-Star Sports in a standard room, $99 a night.
These are prices that I remember, Becky, yeah, from when I booked my bachelorette party 11 years ago.
Years ago.
11 years yeah. ago.
Port Orleans Riverside is $169 in a standard room. Art of Animation in a Cars Family Suite, are you sitting down? Mm-hmm. $249. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, $369 a night plus.
Do you know how much money I've paid for that view? It is not
a lot more than that.
It is not under $400, I can tell you that.
No, these are restricted just to these resorts and just these views, and they are going to go quickly. So if it's something you really are interested in and you're a Disney Plus subscriber, give us a call, let us know. We'll be happy to see if we can find these for you. But we have not seen these rates this low in years and years and years. On top of that, they still have their Get a Free Dining Plan rolling. So if the room rate was enough to get you there, you can purchase a non-discount minimum 4-night, 4-day package that includes room and ticket with Park Hopper, and get that free dining plan if you book by April 30th. So that one's going to come up on us pretty quickly if they don't extend it. And it's for most stays June 28th to December 21st. So it goes for the rest of the year. There's some blockout dates in there, obviously, for the holidays, but it does cover a lot of space for you. And if that doesn't appeal to you, they do have the save up to 30% off rooms for late summer and early fall, 30% from July 30th to October 3rd, with the Florida residents saving up to 35% and pass holders saving up to 40%. But wait, there's more. You don't want to go to Disney World. Don't worry, we got you. Alani is there, and they've come up with a new date for their save up to 25% rate for 5 or more nights and 20% off 4 consecutive nights. And that's most nights August 9th to October 18th if you book by September 27th. Last but not least, because of course there's always something at Disneyland.
Always.
Our home park. Mm-hmm. Save up to 25% on select Disneyland Resort hotels, May 22nd to September 7th. Wow. And it is for the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. But that has to be completed by September 8th. So right now, if you want to experience Disney in many of its forms, there's an offer for you.
Incredible. And don't forget, guys, $50 kids tickets at Disneyland this summer. So yeah. you literally use your savings on tickets for young children or children, any children, older children, all of them.
All the children.
In your family. And mine just ran through the house. It's like she knew. It's like she knew that it was possible for us to go to Disneyland. Thank you so much, Becky. These are amazing. And I'm so glad to be able to share them.
Well, thank you for having me as usual. I love sharing these details. And of course, for those who want to look at the cruises and say you're listening to us right now and it's midnight, just go to bookmeicruise.com and you can pull up all the Disney cruises there as well.
Oh, you're the best.
See ya.
Okay, I don't want to take up the rest of your time, but
no, I love you.
We're going to go into our lightning
lane. Lightning lane?
Yours are maybe like a single rider line because there are some longer ones.
Oh, wow. But I'm honored. Some people really take the lightning serious and then other people disregard the lightning.
Yeah. But no, this is a little single rider. There's some longer answers that might be happening here.
Okay.
Because the first question I have for you is, as someone who is now a Disneyland person, what is the ideal day at Disneyland for you?
I would say I rarely get to go by myself or with people who go often. I'm usually going with people who don't go often. So if I go with people who don't go often, I want to do what they want to do. I want to see them do the thing that they're excited about experiencing. If I'm just on my own, I love sitting around and watching people. I love that band. I want to watch people sing live music. I want to walk around. I want to do some random ride or attraction that is, you know, the other day my husband was watching a show about pirates and I was like, well, why don't next time we go, we ride Pirates of the Caribbean? Like that'd be fun. Let's do that next time. I like to have small goals. I like to have, do things like that. I like to not sweat. And I would say that's ideal. But then I just love going with people who don't go often and who have attainable goals and things they want to see and achieve. And yeah, those are, I would say, my two favorite things.
Yeah. As people who weren't always locals and now are, I do think there is such a charm in just farting around.
Oh, I love it. The atmosphere, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm doing a day of admin, aka just like email after email and Zoom after Zoom, when I'm not on those Zooms, I'm putting on that Disney atmosphere or YouTube channel.
Which one do you choose? Which location?
And that's the thing. It depends on the day. Recently, it's been raining, so I do like a little Animal Kingdom in the rain.
Oh,
a little Dak in the rain. I was doing the Tangled Tokyo Disney atmosphere one. That was great. And I love a carousel. I also love a resort channel. Just putting on a live stream of the resort channel. I feel like I'm there.
What is your favorite Epcot pavilion?
What an interesting question. Oh my God.
There's a lot that goes into it too.
There is so much that goes into it. This recent trip, my nephew loved Germany. He loved those little trains and he loved walking around Germany. I spent a lot of time in the Japan Pavilion this time. But obviously, I'm a Beauty and the Beast gal at heart. I love France. But I associate the UK Pavilion with New Year's Eve. A lot of the times we've done the pub. When I was younger, we would do New Year's Eve illuminations. And we would go to that pub and have like fish and chips. So that's very celebratory for me. And I'm, you know what? I didn't think I was going to bring it up, and I was really going to try and avoid it. I'm going to say it. I grew up in a family that started in Canada.
Stop.
I didn't know any better. But I stand by what Jeffrey says about, like, the full day thing. Because, like, if you want to end later, but I started in a family.
So your parents took you to Disney World to try to raise you well, and yet...
I didn't have agency. I didn't have agency in my choices. Recently, I really loved the Japan Pavilion. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I love the Japan Pavilion. I did love the Germany Pavilion. Yeah. I don't know. I guess Japan.
There's really no wrong answer.
I bought a Totoro crossbody with an aspirations Ooh. That I'm going to Japan later this year, next year for the first time. So
I'm so putting excited that out there. I just need to see you.
I told Carly I wanted to go to Japan the end of this year or next year. And she goes, why don't you go tomorrow? Like in earnest. She didn't say tomorrow, but she's like, why are you going like in 2 weeks?
Was right. It was like 2 weeks later.
I'm going 2 weeks.
Listen, I'm mentally ill, and I do believe we've never had better access to planning tools and to booking flights. And so I'm just kind of like, you want to go now. Duffy and Friends or Mickey and Friends?
Listen, when people say they're not a Taylor Swift fan, I go, great. Easier for me to get tickets. Great. Easier for me to get whatever I need. So I only feel positive things about Duffy, but I am a bit I'm a bit ignorant of the Duffyverse, and that's where you can teach me. You can sit me down like Belle and the Beast, and you can be like, I can be like 12, and you're like 2.
I think I think when you go, because you haven't been, you've been to Disneyland Paris, but you haven't been to any of the Asia parks, right?
I've never been to Asia.
I think once you see the fervor for these characters, it's just like, it feels kind of like watching Disney fans as a non-fan. It feels a little like, oh, what is this?
Ooh, that'll be healthy for me.
Yeah, so I think it's nice to see, because it puts you out of it a bit, even as a huge Disney person, uh-huh. to see that happen. And I think that was so fascinating to me. I got very interested in Duffy when I first went to Japan. I was like, what is this? And it was kind of that curiosity spurred my fandom. So it might still happen for you. You never know.
Aesthetically, unbelievable. No notes. Yeah, they're so cute.
I think you would enjoy meeting some of those characters. I think
okay.
You
know so I will say Mickey and Friends, which I do love. Yeah. I love meeting characters. That's my other thing I would say is I love meeting characters.
Who's your favorite?
I mean, I am a believer. And if you're like, oh, I like Hamlet and the Beatles, like I think people are allowed to say those things. So I do love Mickey Mouse. Like I love the best of the best. Like I love my guy. But as I sit here with Donald Duck does things that make me laugh and giggle. I've had the privilege of going to Disneyland twice with Michaela J. Rodriguez, star of Loot, upcoming star of Rocky Horror Picture Show on Broadway. The way, like, you know, there are certain people when you like to see people in the industry, people freak out and get excited for. And there's certain ones where like you're in an environment and you're like, oh, this is where you want this to happen. To see Michaela J. Rodriguez get recognized during a Disney parade by parade performers was the best experience of my life, particularly, I believe, I have no way of like confirming this, but the way people were turning up the dancing, it was unbelievable. Donald Duck broke his back. Like I have it on my Instagram buried somewhere, like some like summer in LA.
I will find it.
Donald Duck turns around in a way, like I hear his little tail cracking. Like it's unbelievable. I just love Donald. I love how, and he's looking so cute. He's this plush, you can't see, but he is this Tokyo Disney plush where he's kind of cute and just looking off to the side and has a little blush. I think he's really funny. I like how mad he gets. And he's kind of like, I think he like operates like Tinkerbell. Like Tinkerbell's so small, she can only hold one emotion at a time. That's why she feels him so deeply. I feel like Donald isn't that large. I think he can't hold a lot in as well. It's like kind of just one color at a time.
Yeah. So I can see it. Half the frame is filled with the Daisy bow on your sweatshirt. But
I love Daisy too.
Yeah.
I love her energy. I love them all. There's none that I don't like. Yeah. Don't like Pete. Batty.
Yeah. He ate bad energy.
I've gotten vocal. I almost vocally hemorrhaged for Clarabelle multiple times.
She deserves it. It's what she deserves.
I mean, unbelievable. I have let myself go at Pride Night. But love them all. Love them so much. And I will say Curb made me have a lot of fondness for Minnie Mouse because I also was friends with Minnie Mouse. And so I really, my girl, I love rocking the dot. Hashtag rock the dot.
Hashtag rock the dot. Only those of us who spent too much time on Disney internet.
Yeah, so that was like 2017 or something. Yeah. Rock the dot.
Rock the dot.
I still rock the dot sometimes.
So do I. Love to rock the dot. Okay, we are like fully in the single rider line for Radiator Springs being like, is it closed down? Are we moving forward? So I will
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not.
My goal is to stay most this. it become a two-parter. I'm just kidding. I'm not. But maybe if Stamosing is two-parter episodes, how Epcotting is trying to get recognized in Epcot. It's like, because he created the term Epcotting. I think Stamosing is when you try and talk to Carly, you're vibing too much.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure multiple times he picked up a guitar during it and started playing. So we're not there yet.
I don't have a kazoo or anything in sight that I can play.
We just have Donald. We just have a Donald.
Not even a triangle to clink. Yeah, we just have Donald.
Also, us going along is me. That's not you. I just left a gap. Okay. Okay, this is a tough one. Okay. If you could go back in time and star as any role in a DCOM.
Oh?
Any role. We're talking any role.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is... This is tough. Oh my God. I'm really struggling here.
I know. Well,
and
so many options.
What's yours?
The answer for most millennials would be Xenon.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think I would want to be Katie What's Her Face in Smart House.
I loved Smart House.
It's a very robust role. The costuming is fun.
And listen, I do want to be honest about something. My Disney cultural blind spot is certain DCOMs. And I think there's some higher power in the universe that did this to me so that I could be professional and friends with Corbin Bleu. So I was someone who had not seen the High School Musical franchise until I knew I was going to be cast with Corbin Bleu in Kiss Me, Kate, who is one of the greatest performers of all time, truly the triple threat. I think he is the biggest star of all time. And I'm not just saying that because he was the officiant in my husband and I's wedding.
He did a great job, by the way. Really, yeah. Really good at marrying people.
Oh, he should be hosting everything.
Yes.
He should be hosting it all.
Like, I don't want to diminish his career, but I was sitting there being like, this dude should maybe just be burying people all the time.
Hey, between me, you, and your podcast people, I think, listen, in the future, if we can make it happen, I would love to host something with Corbin at some point. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, I think that would be great.
Or even just sing a little Christmas song on a certain parade, you know?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Just saying, we could sing a little Christmas ditty on a little parade.
Oh my God!
That's filmed in October or November, but not aired till December.
Yeah, you can keep a secret. You'd be fine.
You're great. No. Okay, because I'm about to say. So I want to be honest. There are things I know so much about, but I might get this wrong. I'm looking at all these now. There's so many answers I would say. Oh, I just love anything that's like a big, big costume. So like Halloween Town. I mean, Halloween Town's pretty great.
You would do really
well. I love Halloween. If you want to ask me the Halloween Christmas, I'm saying Halloween.
Zoom will be kicking us off in 4 minutes, so I will ask.
Okay.
My final question.
Sorry, Carly.
Are you kidding? I would rather do this all day, but Zoom says no. What is the most secret space within a Disney park you've been to?
Okay. Within a Disney park, I remember when we did Newsies in Orlando. I did go to a space where we spoke with people at Epcot that I have never been since, where we just spoke with people at Epcot. I'm sure it's like where people wait to do candlelight and it's not that big of a deal, but I went there. That was pretty wild.
Love a backstage space.
And then land. Oh, let me think. I mean, I will say being at Disneyland when there was 8 people there that I could see before it opened at like 5:04 in the morning was pretty magical.
That's rare.
Pretty too magical. And then I've been to some after hours events that were obviously amazing, but I got to go to the first 24-hour day at Walt Disney World. And that was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously everyone was there, but like, I think I love being in like an early or a late, preferably early. I'm a morning person.
Oh my, but also like being in Disneyland alone with your family is pretty bonkers.
Oh, it was I was a mess. I was a mess. It was unbelievable. I was a mess.
Were you so confused? I would have been like, where's the toad bacon? Like, what's going on?
I know. I was, I did immediately just like eat a croissant from once the park opened. We like just sat for a second before we started our day and just sat and like ate food. I will say I have been on the the back car of the train. What are they called? The lily bell. Yes.
Have you done that yet? Nope. That's like the last thing on my list.
It was beautiful. I've been on the lily bell. That's a great answer. It was beautiful and incredible.
It seemed so lovely.
But I've never been, and then I've gotten stalled on Roger Rabbit and walked out of Roger Rabbit once. That was pretty wild.
Steph, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was wonderful.
I adore you. This was amazing. And Carly, you're so incredible at what you do. I love all the people who listen to this, and because I am one myself, so I love me, I guess. But I love everyone. And my last call to arms is my niche thing that no one else knows about Disney that I haven't really connected with people on. If anyone read the children's books growing up or the young adult series Disney Girls and wants to leave a comment or call Carly Cheryl Hotline and talk about it, I want to find people who also read the Disney Girl books growing up. And that's all I'll say.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard of this. Zoom is fully going to boot us. I'm so sorry.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you, too. Thank you so much.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And yeah, it's a little weird to not have the churros call, I know, but I think it was the right choice. Thank you so much to Stephanie Stiles, our beloved Hidden Mickey. You can catch her on Instagram at @bystyles, @bystyles, and also on stage and on screen. She's everywhere. She's good at everything. Isn't that cool? It's very cool. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and give us a follow on Spotify. And you can also call us at 747-CHURROS. Keep the calls coming. It's honestly my ideal social network of choice. It's just conversing with you guys on the Churros Hotline. There's a few calls that came in last week. I'm excited to get to them, and I'm grateful for every single one. If you're thinking of booking a trip on a cruise to a theme park, really wherever, head to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They are going to just shepherd you through the vacation planning experience. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing is your gateway to an easy breezy theme park trip. Disney Cruise Line, Disney Parks, Universal, Royal Caribbean, all the other cruise lines. Becky knows more about that than I do, which is why you need them, which is why you need Mouse Fan Travel. Head there and they will do it all for free. They truly will. I did it this past week for a trip they planned, and it was glorious. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel. Join the Foamily at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I post usually after I travel. I post some stuff there and I do an exclusive Q&A. So that would be, if you join now, you can catch that in the highlights, the story highlights of the subscribers. 99 cents a month. I put syrup in my coffee today in West Hollywood that was more expensive than that. So, you know, I try to keep it accessible. Thank you so much for listening. See you real soon. A vocal exercise.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. Great episode, but Mom has laryngitis. I can't talk too much. Well, very brave of your caller, Mary, to call in about the ADHD. So many of us have it, but maybe never even realized it. I didn't know I had it too until one day you said, Mom, you definitely have ADHD, and everything seemed to make sense to me now. But what, especially with the packing, my worst case scenario is also packing for trips. I find it so stressful. Packing for me equals anxiety. I'm overpacked. I just went on a trip and had to pay $100. I was 13 pounds over. How could I be 13 pounds over? But I love Disney cruises, just like you. And I want to do it all. I know how you keep going and going and going. And I'm like that too, of course. And I want to keep going. And I love to go full force, like 4 to 5 days on a cruise. And then we usually end up straight at Disney World and go full force. So funny. We don't stop. Like, we need a vacation to relax from our vacations. So nice to be with you, though. I love it. I basically love going anywhere with you. As long as I'm with you, I'm happy. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Bye-bye.